Thank you, worship team. Chris and I want to thank you for the notes and gifts that we received last week on the way to Kansas City. We read all of those and we're just encouraged and blessed by those words that you wrote on the cards, and thank you for those. Those were such a blessing to us. And we are just thankful for our church family. We love you very much, and we are so grateful for the privilege of being able to be here and be a part of this ministry. So let's pray together as we open the Word. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for what you did for us on the cross in sending your Son to die for our sins, to give up his life for ours, to take the weight of our sin and the punishment of our sin on his shoulders, so that we might be free from the wrath that you pour out on those who don't know you. And so, Father, I pray that as we open your word this morning, as we look into your word this morning, I just pray that you might encourage our hearts, that you might strengthen us, that you might teach us, that we might learn, that we might grow, so that we might better reflect the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As of about 10 minutes ago, we were going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 27, but let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5 this morning, please. It's amazing when we come to a table, when we come to the communion table, and we really start to reflect on all that Christ has done for us, how God has given his Son for us, how he surrendered all for us. And we sing a song like, I surrender all to him I freely give, worldly pleasures all forsaken. Do we mean that? Can we sing that song and can we say, God, take everything that I have and everything that I am and transform my life so that I might reflect the image of Jesus Christ in all that I do? Do we sing songs like that And do we mean it? Do we sing songs like that from our hearts, or are they just words on a screen or a familiar song that we've sung all of our lives? I remember singing that song growing up. Those words come into my mind as the music starts, and I don't even have to look at the words because I've sung it so many times, but do I believe it? And does it affect my life in a way that brings me closer to the image of Jesus Christ? Do I reflect the image of Jesus Christ in all that I do? Do I reflect the image of Jesus Christ everywhere I walk? Do I reflect the image of Jesus Christ when I'm alone? Do I reflect the image of Jesus Christ when I'm standing before those who don't know him as their personal Savior? We've been looking at David, and we understand David's life, and we've looked at the ups and downs of David, and in chapter 27 of 1 Samuel is another one of those experiences where David takes things into his own hands. He says, you know what, he considers in his own heart and he says, you know what, Saul's going to catch up to me eventually. And you know what, I'm going to do something to save myself. It really doesn't matter that God has made promises to me. It really doesn't matter that Saul has confirmed that eventually I'm going to take the throne. It doesn't matter that Abigail said I'm going to take the throne. It doesn't matter that Samuel anointed me king. I don't believe and I don't trust God to help me through this next situation. David's been running from Saul for 7 years when we get to 1 Samuel chapter 27. And I'm so thankful that Scripture doesn't hide these flaws in these great men of faith's lives, because we are so much like them. Experiences come into our lives and we find that we don't trust the way we should trust. We don't respond the way we should respond. We don't act the way we should act. And as I was down here this morning, and the Lord just continued to tug on my heart to draw me to Ephesians chapter 5 this morning, and we could talk about David. I would encourage you to read that chapter. You know, that's a messed up chapter in David's life, again, as he deceives Achish and as he's out killing people and lying to Achish. And here's a man after God's own heart. But I was drawn to Ephesians chapter 5 because Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 5, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God." What's Paul saying there? Well, when we see the word "therefore," we realize it's in light of everything that Paul has said before that. And we've mentioned before that all the structure of Paul's books usually start off with a lot of theology. Let me set the groundwork. Let me set the foundation. Let me set the basis for how the church is going to function. Let me put in line these doctrines that I was taught by the Holy Spirit when I was driven out into the wilderness, when I was in Arabia for 3 years, and the Holy Spirit talked to me as I am the messenger of God to establish the church and set the foundation and bring these things from the Old Testament in light with the New Testament and what Christ has done for us. And I'm laying the groundwork, so we get three chapters of that in Ephesians. Chapter 4 through chapter 6 then is this "therefore," in light of that truth. In light of that truth, that's how you are to live. Look at Paul's epistles, and there is always that transition where Paul says, okay, doctrine is great, theology is great, understanding is great, but this practically works out in your life somehow, some way. It's great to know all that stuff. It's great to know your bibliology. It's great to know your ecclesiology. It's great to know your eschatology. It's great to know your Christology and your harmartiology and all of these ologies. It's great to know those, but if they're not affecting your life, what good is it? It's just additional knowledge. And Paul always brings us to "therefore," in light of that, live differently. Here in chapter 5, Paul says, "Therefore, in light of everything that I have said already, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves," 2, 8, and 9. You are now alive in Christ. You now have this new life in Christ, chapter 4, starting in verse 17. Verse 25, "Therefore, having put away falsehood." And he goes through a list there, and then he says here again, "Therefore, brothers and sisters in Christ. Therefore, family of God. Therefore, you that have been bought with a price. Therefore, you who are identified as a follower of Jesus Christ, imitate God." Therefore, imitate God. Are we imitating God this morning? Are we imitating God every day? When I put my feet on the floor in the morning, am I saying, "God, help me to reflect you to a world that so desperately needs to see and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ"? There are people all around us that are dying and going to hell. And how are we reflecting the light of Christ in the darkness? Paul goes on to say in verse 2, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. As we look at the elements of this table, as we just participated in the elements of this table, we are reminded of that fragrant offering that was lifted up to God. Here is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Was God well pleased with his Son when he died on the cross? Yes, he was. Because Christ, in his obedience, went to the cross and he hung there. We are to walk in love the same way Christ has loved us. In our relationships at work, are we loving as Christ loved us? In our homes, are we loving as Christ loved us? In our dealings with people, are we loving as Christ loved us? In our church, are we loving as Christ loved us? In light of this relationship that we have with Jesus Christ, and in light of the relationship that we have with God because of the fact that we have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, as I am seeking to be an imitator of God because I am this beloved child, am I loving as Christ loved? Now, there are some unlovely people in the world. There are some people that we may struggle with. You know, we all have those weaknesses in our lives. We all have those opportunities and times in our lives when we say, you know what? I'm not having a real good day here, and nobody else around me is going to have a good day either. Have you ever had one of those days? I must be the only one. But how do I love as Christ loved? How do I sacrifice in a way that demonstrates the love of Christ to the world? It's interesting that throughout Scripture we have these challenges in our lives. The end of chapter 5, it's talking about the marriage relationship, and Paul makes it very clear that the picture of Christ and the church is found in the marriage relationship. Is that happening in my relationship? I pray that it is. I strive that it is. That everything that I do and how Chris and I respond to one another is reflecting the image of Jesus Christ. Do we have bad days? Yes, we have bad days. We all have bad days. We all get selfish. We all get prideful. We all go through those times in our lives. But for the most part, I want to imitate Christ. I want to love as he loved. I want to love others as Christ loved me. And what does that do for me? It should be driving me to share Christ, because I don't want anybody to go to hell. I don't want anybody to be separated from God. I don't want anyone to miss the opportunity to have an intimate, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So are we striving to be imitators of God as his beloved children? Are we loving as Christ has loved us? But Paul goes on and he says, there are some things that you need to put off. He does this again in Colossians chapter 3. But here he says, but sexual immorality and all impurity and covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk or crude joking, which is out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving, for you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, again, in light of this, Are we putting away the things of the world? 1 Corinthians tells us that old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Is my life being transformed? Are those things that once hindered me or were once part of my life before I came to know Christ, are those things being put away? That we don't want the church to look like the world. We don't want people to come in here and say, you know what, I feel pretty comfortable because I know that person, I know that person, I know their lives, and if that's what you call a Christian, I'm doing pretty well right at this point. We want people to come in and feel uncomfortable because they feel the love of Christ. There's something different about this place. We are loving as Christ loved the church. In Acts chapter 2, we see people being drawn to the church because of the love. It's so different than the world. We need to be different. We need to be putting these things away from us. When we come to the communion table, are we confessing those things and are we ready to give them up? Or do we confess them and wait until next month and, hey, you know what, I'm here again, God, with the same issues that I had before. And you know what, forgive me again, sorry, messed up. Or are we really looking to change our lives? Are we looking to radically transform our lives? Are we looking to be different than the world around us? Paul says in verse 7, therefore, do not become partakers with them. For at one time you were in darkness. Listen, he is saying to the church in Ephesus, listen, folks, you once lived there. You were once a part of that. That once influenced every part of your life. He's saying, therefore, do not be partakers in that anymore. Put all that junk away. For once you were in darkness, but now you are in the light of the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of these things that they do in secret. Things aren't in secret anymore, are they? We are living in a culture that is blatantly defying God. We are living in a culture where right is wrong, and wrong is right. And if you say anything against what is wrong as far as what Scripture says, we are bigoted, and we are narrow-minded, and we are whatever other terms might be used for us. But what does Paul say? Continue to expose. Continue to preach the truth. Continue to speak the truth. We love everyone. We hate the sin. We love everyone, but we hate the sin. And we are going to continue to speak that truth. If the Bible says that this is sin, it is sin. And it is going to continue to be sin. There isn't any new revelations that are coming down the road. I've talked to individuals who are talking about homosexuality, and they said, you know what? Paul really didn't say that. You know, he really, if you reinterpret this, which always goes the wrong direction quickly, if you reinterpret this, really what Paul is saying is that this is okay. He was speaking into that dynamic and into that world. But now, you know, after we've reinterpreted this, after reworked this, everything's good with God. No, we can't do that. Paul even says, don't be caught up, don't be deceived by those who are doing those types of things. So we are to take no part in the unfruitful work of darkness. Verse 18, but when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible in the is light. for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. I want my life to reflect Christ. I want my life to be a reflection of Christ in everything that I do, in everything that I say, in all of my dealings. I want people to see Christ in me. Do I fail? I know I fail at times. I know that there are those moments in time when I just fall. But I pray constantly that God would walk with me through these things and to help me to better reflect His Son. Verse 15 says, look carefully then how you walk. Therefore, look carefully how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord in your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Paul says, here is how you do it. Here is how you live your life. Here is how you make every day count. Here is how you walk circumspectly in a world that is so evil. Look carefully how you walk. Be an imitator of Christ. Be an imitator of God. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Allow that Word to transform your life. Continually be examining your life. Continually seek to walk after Christ. Give thanks in everything. Allow psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Do you sing because of your relationship with Christ? Do you sing? Maybe not well, but do you sing? I had 4.5 hours coming back from Kansas City. I was hoarse when I got back. I don't sing much in the car when Chris is there, because usually she asks me, what song are you singing again? But what joy comes as we start to sing, as we allow that melody to come through our hearts, through our minds. It helps us to focus. Give thanks always. Let's submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. May we be a church that is therefore an imitator of Christ, an imitator of God, because we are His children. The challenge is always there, isn't it? We are frail. We are human. We have our shortcomings. We have our struggles in our lives. But we have one who is always there to help us, to walk with us. He has given us those promises. Trust in me. Walk with me. Lean on me. I am here. Oh, that might be the cry of our heart. That we might just not walk away from today and from this table and the songs that we've sung, death is arrested when my life and my life began. All that Christ has done for us, and we're not living a godly life to pay anything back. We are living a life that is reflecting Christ because it is out of great love for our Savior. God loved us. He sent His Son to die for us. May we reflect the image of Christ in the world in which we live. Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for Your Son that You sent to die on the cross for our sins. Father, I pray that as we walk out of this place today, that we might be reminded, that we might be challenged, Father, to be imitators of you, that we might walk in love, that we might not look like the world, but that we might look radically different, that people might be drawn to us because they see something in us that is so different than anything they've experienced before, that we might have the opportunity and privilege to share the message of Jesus Christ to someone who so desperately needs to hear. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the challenge of your word. And Father, I pray that you just might, that you might be seen in us this week as we seek to serve you. We love you, Father. And we thank you again for your grace. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.